What's going on, my brothers and sisters,
he's Mr. Woo-woo.
Aunties and uncles,
he's Mr. Woo-woo.
Monks, Kabbalists,
he's
wizards,
Mr. Woo-woo.
Mystics,
he's Mr. Woo-woo.
Sons and daughters of God, welcome
he's Mr. Woo-woo.
To Mr. Woo-woo. Welcome everybody to the show. I'm your host, Joshua. I hope you've had a wonderful 4th of July weekend. I just took it off because... And I just wanted to spend time with my wife. I love you, Abby. You're so awesome. I could spend every day with you. Oh, wait, I do. We even work together, guys. I mean, can't get enough of this gal. I love her so much. Independence Day was interesting. Very interesting. Me and the missus, we took a, you know, we ate deliciously. You know, of course, there was like T-bone steaks involved. So good. Took a couple pre-rolls down to the bay to watch the fireworks, and we're sitting there and we look to our left and we see like this large bunch of garbage bags piled up together, and it looked like a heap that you would see like on the East Coast where they pile them up on like the sidewalks. So it was piled up around just like one trash can. People just like, here, take that shit. And see a guy kind of like go like sit down and like nestle himself down in the trash. Like it looked like a bird kind of like burrowing its way into a nest. And the dude looked like kind of salt of the earth. You know what I mean? Like the dude could have had the hobo pack on him back in the day. You can never tell. Is it drugs or is it, you know, mental insanity? So kids burrowing in, we're like, okay, that's kind of crazy. You know, watching the fireworks, puffing Blue Dream. It was nice. And then, my dude, like after the fireworks display, I like looked back and my wife's like, I think that guy's taking a shit. I said, dude, there's no fucking way a human being is taking a shit in the middle of this park right now. And then he like calmly gets up and goes behind the thing and with his pants down around his knees, like is scooting backwards. You know, like a dog with worms, you know, like he's scooting backwards across the fucking grass. And I had never been so corrected in my life. And I remembered those cold nights when I slept in my car when I was younger, how easily when those police were doing their little interrogation of me of like weed, where they could have been like, let's throw the book at this fucking asshole and just threw me in prison. You know, or just threw me in jail because I was already on probation for weed. And instead of like giving me a second chance, we're like, you know, fuck this guy. And like did some time, you know, got exposed to other fucking gang shit and then came back out. I'd just be this kid like living on the street, huffing markers and like shitting in large piles of garbage. And the craziest thing was 30 minutes later, as me and Ab are like walking back to the house, like a bunch of people were converging on that pile of garbage, like they were going to like do something to it, like, you know, possibly take it away or whatever. And I didn't even have the heart to be like, careful, there's a giant pile of human shit right where you guys are at. I was just, you know, I was blissfully enjoying my independence and it just didn't occur to me to ruin those people's nights because I couldn't comprehend why they were going through the trash in the first place. So didn't want to involve myself. Not involving ourselves. Isn't that like kind of what all of America is trying to do? It's like the government and like doing politics and getting involved in that game or that process. It feels like you have to like go visit an aunt that smells weird or doesn't act right, or grandma that's kind of like racist and says shit and you're like, fuck. It's like people are just like, fuck, I don't want to deal with that person. I don't want to deal with that thing. But that thing, and I try to explain to people that love sports. Dude, if you love sports, I was like, here's why politics is the ultimate sport. You know, and it's a sport for nerds, of course, because it's for like the physically usually weak and power hungry or people that want to do it. But the real power behind the game and why these goblins get into it in the first place isn't to be like altruistic. That's way down at the bottom on the activism and like, you know, helping people in the community level. This is the, I want to lord over people and make rules for them because I'm a Percy fucking Weasley. And I love writing people up and doing like a desatulations. Right? You're going to get a desatulation. You don't want to know what that is. And they want to fucking ram that shit down your throat and tell you what you can't and cannot do. And people are like, I don't want to deal with those kind of fucking people. But if you don't, those are the people setting the rules for your life. And now milk's $6 a gallon. Right? How did not involving yourself work out for you? Right? I know people all the time, I hate politics. I'm not going to get involved. Not going to talk about it. Cool. Then people, nerds are going to do whatever they want with your fucking money and your bombs and guns and sovereignty and declare like how much your shit is and what you can and cannot do. Don't you see that's kind of the ultimate sport? All of the founding fathers had attended the electorate, people that actually took the responsibility of voting to know the law, to know the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, to practically be a lawyer and debate on local and federal levels what is and isn't the best way to govern, because lives are at stake. What we do with our food, who's allowed to grow it, what countries are allowed to participate, how. Dude, and you care about the fucking Mets? The fuck out of here. You know, and I love the Mets. You know, it's my second favorite team because it's my wife's team. You know, and it's, and you're like, if you don't participate, your team, the American team turns into the Mets. You're like, oh, I wonder why we fucked up halfway through the season. Well, it wasn't for lack of, you know, participation and cheering on Met fans' part, obviously. But it sure the fuck is when it comes to politics. We're still allowing mail-in votes and ballot drop boxes. That's how the shit was rigged last time. That and a fateful oopsie-daisy from, you know, the corporation in charge of electronically tracking that stuff. Same corporation that oversaw the Bush elections. Aw. Oh, no, we're not free. No, not yet. It's been a 200-year process interrupted by secret societies and, like, endless wars. Endless wars, pardon me. I'm going to take a go. I know you're not allowed to do this, hold on. Fucking coffee is so great. What a blessing. See, and that's what I mean is you got to, like, think about what is working well in any era, because a lot of times you got civilizations in ascension and decline, and in both parts of those processes, there are issues and problems with the growth and decay process. Right now, it seems like we're simultaneously in a growth and decay process, like the dinosaurs are dying off, and we mammals, you know, the wizards, are kind of going to get take over, right? We're going to take over policy decisions. As a community, we're going to be able to influence shit more than anyone because we know the law of attraction and they don't. The Illuminati is knowing the law of attraction. Their strength is by manipulating the peonic consciousnesses of sleepwalking, pilled out, head up their ass, human impersonators, right? Completely hypnotized drones and taking their little weenie consciousness and adding them up to a couple billion and scaring them or manipulating them or using some kind of negative impulse to collectively get them to think something negative. And then something negative happens either in nature or the economy or in the health sector or something. And people think it's just a coincidence. They've been fucking with people for 12,000 years. Fuck the followers of Baal. So anyway, yeah, that's right. I recorded that. And on top of that all, like you have the few people that are like, oh yeah, everything's spirit. So, and it's also responding to thought. So you have to have a few people at least thinking that into creation, thinking it into like the construction of societies or lines of commerce or sanitation. That's constructive. There's destructive and there's constructive. And I will happily fuck with you if you are constructive. I'll give you a few examples, right? Here's a couple of social engineers for you. Some real heroes. Heroes of the world. We'll start with Well, here's a guy that never got charged for his crimes and got away, though I'm sure right now he's not, because he's not in the body anymore. Henry Kissinger, here's a philosophy. This is how the Death Eaters think. And this is a quote from a speech to the WHO, the World Health Organization Council on Eugenics. Did you know the World Health Organization has a council on eugenics, on the engineered scientific application of reducing populations of humans, ergo either preventing their birth or killing those that are currently existing? I didn't know until I just looked at this quote. A WHO council on eugenics. That's weird that they call themselves the World Health Organization, and yet there's a council on, a death council, basically. Anyway, this piece of shit, Henry Kissinger, said on February 25th, 2009, to these deranged people pretending to be health physicians, he said, once the herd, he referred to us as a herd, by the way, once the herd accepts mandatory vaccinations, it's game over. They will accept anything, forcible blood or organ donation, for the greater good, which was Grindelwald's saying, ironically. We can genetically modify children and sterilize them for the greater good, in quotes. Control sheep minds and you control the herd. Vaccine makers stand to make billions. And many of you in this room are investors. It's a big win-win. We thin out the herd, and the herd pays us for extermination services. Yeah, you heard that right. Henry Kissinger, ex-Secretary of State and Sith Lord, saying you're part of the herd and using vaccines. Vaccine makers stand to make billions. It's like once the herd accepts mandatory vaccinations, it's game over. They will accept anything. So their part of their plan was, if they got us to accept all these mandatory vaccinations, we mandate it. They didn't make a law, mind you, but we are mandating it. Unless they got all of us on board to do that. Their goal was to get even a majority of us to accept these mandatory vaccinations, because they knew once they could, that means you will accept anything, he says. Forcible blood or organ donation. I don't know why I can't fucking say that properly. Forcible blood or organ donation. Is it a donation if it's forcible? If they say, you know what, fuck you, we want your kidney because some billionaire wants it. Is it a donation? That's how disgusting these people's minds work, right? So, yeah, for the greater good, he says twice, like Grindelwald from fucking Harry Potter, for the greater good, they will do it. And that they also said that they can genetically modify children and sterilize them. And sterilization tends to be one of the featured side effects of this COVID mRNA gene modification program. Vaccine makers stand to make billions, and many of you in this room are investors. That means the WHO are investors in those kind of activities. But please trust them for the next pandemic. Please, like whatever they do, just put it inside your body. People that have these kind of philosophies are to be, well, generally mocked, but only by the wise. Feel free to just do whatever you need to do. Here's another wretched, demonic, I don't even know if you could call it a life form, but just like a destructive force in the universe, by John D. Rockefeller. And then this psycho said on his Masonic Creed, this is a text taken from John D. Rockefeller's Masonic Creed. He says this, quote, "We will keep their lives short and their minds weak while pretending to do the opposite. We will use our knowledge of science and technology in subtle ways so that they can never see what is happening. We will use soft metals, aging accelerators, and sedatives in food and water, and as well as in the air. They will be covered in poisons wherever they turn. The soft metals will make them lose their minds. We will promise to find a cure from our many funds, and yet we will give them more poison. Chemical poisons will be absorbed through the skin of idiots who believe that certain hygiene and beauty products presented by great actors and musicians will bring eternal youth to their faces and bodies. And through their thirsty and hungry mouths, we will destroy their minds and systems of internal organs reproduction. However, their children will be born as disabled and deformed, and we will hide this information. This is from John D. Rockefeller, a man who owns a central bank. The they're referring to when they say we will keep their lives short and their minds weak while pretending to do the opposite is you and your loved ones. He says we will use our knowledge of science and technology in subtle ways so that they will never see what is happening. And they will use soft metals and aging accelerators and sedatives in food and water, that they would poison our water, food, and air. And that's exactly what fucking happened. So this is how the other side thinks and talks, especially in other large meetings amongst their own cronies and Luciferian worshippers, right? Here's by contrast. You know, pick your camp, of course. But this is from a quote of Abraham Hicks. And it's in regards to basically how to create with your thought, because you're already creating with your thought is basically the theory. That's accurate as shit. So Abraham Hicks says, the rule of thumb is you never take action when there is negative emotion within you, because it will always be counterproductive. Always talk to yourself until you feel better, and then follow the inspired action that comes from that open valve, that open feeling. Doesn't that feel nicer? You can kind of let your conscience be your guide, like Jiminy says, but it's just saying, like, the rule is when you are feeling that discord produced by said assholes in the previous mention and their systems of mind and resource governance, that you can wait. You have to stop and you have to mentally self-talk yourself into a better state of mind or feeling. Almost like, you know, your own hype person. And then once you feel good, then you take action. Because if you take action when you don't feel good, it ends up being a destructive action or an imperfect action. So that's really helpful stuff from Abraham Hicks. Here's Thich Nhat Hanh is his name. He's like a Buddha. He was actually out here in California for quite some time, and he was an attained saint that recently just went to ascension. He's amazing. He says there are many ways to calm negative energy without suppressing or fighting it, right? So if you're wondering, God, I feel really negative right now, but I don't know, do I punch it? Do I, you know, try to fuck it up? Do I fight it? You know, he says, no, don't do any of that. If there's negative energy without suppressing or fighting it, all you have to do is recognize it, you smile to it, and you invite something nicer to come up and replace it. And you could do that by reading some inspiring words, you listen to a piece of beautiful music, you go somewhere in nature, or you do some walking meditation. Amazing words from a completely attained master. All of his books are incredible. They're very small, but the wisdom of them are just absolutely permeated with truth. And his name was Thich Nhat Hanh. And fabulous. Here's from Sri Paramahansa Yogananda. You want to talk about universality of religions? This is from an attained, as high, like Mahasamadhi attainment of enlightenment. Autobiography of a yogi. All right, this is from an Eastern yogi. And this is just from the book Journey to Self-Realization. The call of life and the call of death are imperative, but the call of God is the most important of all. With utmost concentration, give your heart and soul unto God. Forget, forget the consciousness of time. Today of all days, you should use the full power of your soul to show God that you love him more than anything in life. May you love the giver of all gifts more than all of his gifts. If you offer your reverence continuously with ever-increasing intensity, you will see and feel the presence of God today as you have never experienced it before. Forgetting time and space, let all of us expand the consciousness of our being. Be filled with peace and joy. Joy is the proof of the presence of God. As you go on meditating, a deep joy will come over your soul. Feel that joy. Feel expanded in the spirit of Christ. We are all here to worship the Christ that was in Jesus, as well as Jesus who manifested Christ consciousness, and the great ones who are all one in that consciousness. God and Christ are one. All liberated masters, through their perfect attainment with the Son or Christ consciousness, are united with God. So try, with greater determination, to feel this consciousness of universal Christ. This is from an attained Hindu saint, a yogic master and scientist. He's mentioning the Christ and verifying the divinity of Jesus, that Christ consciousness is the Atma that they speak of, your own individuated piece of God consciousness. This from the book Think and Grow Rich. We're talking about the power of mantra, meditation, why you repeat the name of God, which they call Japa Yoga in India. Repeating the name of divinity, whether you call it Christ, 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 Elohim, 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 Allah, 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 whatever you chant internally with love in your heart, can bring you the highest attainment. And this is from Think and Grow Rich, an economic book, albeit with metaphysical leanings. The proof is simple and easily demonstrated. It is wrapped up in the principle of auto-suggestion. Let us center our attention, therefore, upon the subject of self-suggestion and find out what it is and what it is capable of achieving. It is a well-known fact that one comes finally to believe whatever one repeats to oneself, whether the statement be true or false. If a man repeats a lie over and over, he will eventually accept the lie as truth. Moreover, he will believe it to be the truth. Every man is what he is because of the dominating thoughts which he permits to occupy his mind. Thoughts which a man deliberately places in his own mind and encourages with sympathy, and with which he mixes any one or more of the emotions, constitute the motivating forces which direct and control his every movement, act, and deed. So basically, whatever you believe, as Jesus said, it'll be done unto you as you believe, which also kind of sounds like more of a verb than as you believe. It's more like as you continue to believe, it's going to keep being done unto you. So you can believe whatever you want, but whatever you repeat to yourself, whether the statement is true or false in italics, will become true. Even a piece of shit like Goebbels knew that. He stated that if you repeat a lie over and over, it becomes true for the person. Well, people don't realize that they're the projection mechanism of their own internal and external reality. And usually other people are programming that. But you can repeat that over and over and over again. That it all comes down to mental attitude. Oh, the Master Key System by Charles Hanel. This mental attitude is our personality and is composed of the thoughts which we have been creating in our own mind. Therefore, if we wish to change in conditions, all that is necessary is to change our thought. I'll say that again. If you wish for a change in conditions, all that is necessary is to change our thought. This will in turn change our mental attitude, which will in turn change our personality. So you will be literally a different feeling and being person, which will in turn change the persons, things, and conditions, or the experiences with which we meet in life, just with thought. That's all you got to do. You can repeat the name of God over and over, and it just works automatically. You can repeat joy, 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 love, 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 and repeat it over and over again, and life will literally be an exponent of that expression. It'll be pulsing through your nervous system and express itself in your biochemistry. Anyway, that was my own ad lib. Going back to the Master Key System, it is, however, no easy matter to change your mental attitude. But by persistent effort, it may be accomplished. Persistent effort meaning mantra, auto-suggestion. The mental attitude is patterned after the mental pictures, which have been photographed on the brain. If you do not like the pictures, destroy the negatives and create new pictures. This is the art of visualization. As soon as you have done this, you will begin to attract new things, and new things will correspond to the new pictures and the vibration of them, I add. Impress on the mind a perfect picture. That's the key. If you're getting imperfect results, I want you to post mentally the picture of the thing perfectly manifested, the person manifested perfectly, the situation manifested perfectly, beyond your wildest dreams perfectly. And at least you're going to get a fraction of that. Neville Goddard brings it all home so perfectly. Sorry, I'm like jumping from quote to quote to quote, but they're so great and they ran like a DNA chain, so I read them as well, as such. Here's another one. And what is the great secret to doing all of this? It's controlling your attention and then crafting your imagination along with your attention. So here it is. Neville says, the great secret is a controlled imagination and a well-sustained attention, firmly and repeatedly focused on the object to be accomplished. Now, whether it's an object to be accomplished, a feeling to be accomplished, a state to be accomplished, that's all I'm looking for here. That's all we're looking for is the controlled and sustained imagination. So I'll take from the cue the puta, the fucking chingala that's probably trying to just earn a living for his family, but is like tree trimming outside of my office right now, is just telling me, yeah, I should go fuck. I should get out of here. So I love all of you guys. Take all of that information in if you can, except for, you know, the lame stuff. Kissinger, you know, Rockefeller, that's, you know, you're like, oh, what's the deep state? Those cunts, those people, those are the people that are that, okay? The people that are like, we need to socially engineer reality in people, even though they're sloppy pieces of, like, satanic trash. Like, we don't really need that. We don't really need that. Thanks for, you know, no one's been like, thank you, World Economic Forum, but you can all go fuck your mothers. We're good. We don't need any of your suggestions. Thank you. So you had those perceptions, and then you also have what Neville Goddard is saying, control of your attention. What Esther Hicks is saying, don't act when you're negative. Give it a second. Give it a second. Wait. And then act once you feel better. You know, don't go into the meeting feeling all, unless it's like hardcore pressure time. Give yourself a minute. Talk yourself into feeling good, right? Because remember, Neville Goddard was always talking about inner self-talk. Once you take command of that dialogue and that monologue and it's all positive, you're basically living in a freaking Mentos commercial, you know? It's fantastic. And don't let it worry you like what other people are up to. Think of yourself as an individual company, not a corporation that's in a bunch of mergers. Just make your corporation marvelous. Inside and out. If it doesn't feel good, start stretching it out. Start stretching. Squeeze it out of you. If it feels dense, if it feels negative. And if you can't, well, I have a business that can help you out in that direction. Joshua Ramey. You can look me up, loveenergetics.com. I'm in San Diego. And I also work from a distance. We can change that vibration. We can. You know? Got to get it to positive vibes only. And then everything works out just the way you want. When you feel good, everything, you know, like Esther Hicks and Abraham are always talking about that. That's the main crux is when you feel good, it's because you're thinking good. And you just expand that. How? What else can I think that can make me feel even better? Doesn't even have to be true, you guys. Doesn't even have to be true. Just think stuff that makes you feel good, and it'll radiate out to your biochemistry, and it'll feedback as a loop of like, I want pleasantness. And your brain will be like, sure, what else is pleasant to think? And not only that, it'll start to manifest pleasant experiences because that inner state begins to be pressed outward as experience, people, places, things, and conditions and events. Is it easy? Does it suck? Is it pleasant? Is it unpleasant? It's up to you. It's up to you. Clock's ticking though. Time to get it right, because if thoughts manifesting ever faster, I know you know this because you're a wizard and special and wonderful and beautiful and perfect. I just wanted to remind you that. And I love you very much. I hope everything in your life is lovely. I pray that it would become even more perfect though. All you pirates, all of you, all you mystics and rebels that listen to this station. I appreciate you. Peace and aloha. Love y'all.